And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're live at the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Talking with Scott Sherman from Snap Insurance, city councilman for San Diego, one of our guardian angels, shall we say, amongst the craziness that's going on right now. And we're giving away a great prize, too.
Man, you're not kidding. A full-day trip going fishing on the San Diego. Captain Ryan Boston, Captain Matt Brawla out of Seaford Sport Fishing. An awesome opportunity at undoubtedly one of the best boats in the fleet. And just like we were talking with Captain Steve Peterson yesterday, I'm sure those guys are chomping at the bit to go down. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the San Diego does once they get the green light with great fishing at the Coronado Islands and great fishing offshore. Those guys are so deadly in both of those arenas. It'll be interesting to see where they go and what they do.
Oh,
you know, those
yeah.
guys are they're killers no matter what they're fishing for, and both of those things seem to be an option right now. So it'll be exciting times once that San Diego gets going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, be sure to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Loaded with it's printed this week. Now every other week is digital, and every other week is printed. So this week's printed, and lots of big halibut, Sierra information on the big trout season opening up in the Eastern Sierra. I know I talked to our friend Ryan at Adventures and Camping. He's getting things rolling with Adventures and Camping. So that's really good news. So check it out. This week's edition of Western Outdoor News, printed edition this week. Check it out.
Yeah, like as Pete was saying, very busy morning on the phones this morning and lots of great to talk about. If you want to join us, the phones are packed up, but there's going to be lots of room in the second hour for you. 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us on the show. If you want to talk to Sherm, ask a question. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, indeed. Also, I want to mention, too, AFCO's doing such a great thing on these face masks, right? We're all wearing AFCO face masks right now. And AFCO face masks are so comfortable. I've turned so many people onto them. They just love them.
If you're going crazy breathing into the paper mask, dude, go buy one of these.
Go get one.
You're just
going
to the grocery store. You want to, you know, got to be in compliance, all those things. It's the only way to go.
Yeah,
they work comfortable.
And AFCO now has a thing where they're buy one, get one. So when you buy one, they're going to give one to sport boat captains to supply for their crew and their passengers and such like that. So it's a really cool deal. So again, AFCO gives back a ton.
As they do. Yeah. That's what those guys
for
do.
Sure. All right, Ricky, phones are packed. Let's go ahead and jump into it.
You got it, man. Mike and Rosemead, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Mike, thanks for hanging in there with us. Yo, Mike. Well, maybe Mike wasn't able to hang in there with us.
Do we have Mike?
So why don't we try jumping back in, and we'll try then John. John calling from Mira Mesa this morning. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is more of a personal question to Scott. I feel a little silly now, especially after hearing his last report, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So, Scott, have you totally abandoned your kayak fishing and or your kayak?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, most of my time now is spent on the boat. My son now has the kayak, and he's utilizing it.
That's
but it seems like every chance I get, I'm on the boat and going a little bit further of range than the kayak had. But I do miss the kayak fishing. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, just that convenience of being able to pull up to the bay and drop down and paddle 20 yards offshore and catch a bunch of spotties for an hour or two is the one thing I definitely miss about it.
Yeah, it's so easy, such an easy recreational thing to do on a quick basis. You know, a lot of time on the water versus on a boat, and that's the problem when you have a boat and a kayak. The boat demands a lot of time.
Yeah,
you know, both setup and time on the water, maintenance, everything. I mean, I'm like after our trip on Wednesday, I'm still putting the boat back together. You know, it's like it takes time.
I'm leaving here today. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to the boat to start polishing aluminum. You know, that's But I do miss the convenience and the quick, easy of deploying the kayak. And it's a different feel on a kayak than it is on a boat. You know, I mean, a kayak, you're basically on the water, whereas you know, when you're in a boat, you're off a boat.
Yeah.
It's a different deal. I actually started the kayak thing back when I had a real bad knee.
Uh-huh.
Just because I couldn't surf anymore, so I figured that was a way of keeping me kind of in the water,
in
contact with the
idea.
Water. Then I got my knee replaced and bought a boat, so there you go.
There you go.
Now, you used to do a lot of hooping from the kayak, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a big, was like a big thing of yours?
Yeah, that was my favorite way to hoop, actually. I mean, you're so stealthy. And, you know, back when we first started, that was when it was flat hoops. You know, you didn't have the conicals like you do now. So
That's a little more challenging.
Yeah, you have to make sure you got it straight up and down before you start pulling. You got to be quicker and those kind of things. And the kayak could give you that stealthiness, especially in shallow water, where you can just slide right up on your buoy, get everything set just right, and then just start pulling for all you're worth. And it was very effective.
I dig that. I think that's cool.
I mean, my biggest lobster on the kayak was 8 pounds, and that was in 8 feet of water.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's more user friendly for that shallow water fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind paddling back across the channel in the middle of the night, you know, that's on a kayak, it's okay.
Make sure you have lots of lights, right?
Lots of lights.
I'll tell you the other thing is it is exponentially easier to get 7 bugs out of a crawl than it is 14 and 21 and 20. You know what I mean? Like getting that first 7 is a lot more doable in the time where they're wanting to really move around than it is, you know.
I can't tell you how many times in the kayak I was done after my first set.
You get a good one when they're wanting to move. You can get those first 7 pretty quick.
Well, and I what I like doing is getting out there just as the light's going down, just as the sun goes below the horizon. I like to drop the bait down even though it's still kind of light out. I call it, you know, how many times do you wake up smelling bacon and you're really, really hungry? So we used to just call it dropping the bacon because we'd put put it down just as they're about ready to start crawling, and they were on it pretty quick.
They do. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Gets me fired up for hooping, man.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a ways to go before that.
I think you're right about that. How about John and Escondido up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, buddy?
It was good seeing you again on Slotty Ricky. My question for you, Scott, is I don't have a boat, I don't have a kayak, but I have a ton of fishing equipment. And so can I just get a policy that would cover that, you know, whether I'm out on a commercial boat, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, usually if it's for theft and those types of things, you'll have it covered under your either renter's or homeowner's policy. When it comes to being out on a boat and dropping it overboard, that's kind of a different animal. If it's very expensive, you may be able to, you know, it's a really top-end gear and you may be able to schedule it on your policy to say, okay, I have this
specific
item, it costs this specific amount. And when you schedule it, the amount of incidents that could make it easier for you to make that claim, they go up. I mean, if I lost it, it's covered. But if it's not, then it's like on your own pretty much.
I can speak to John's tackle. It is very nice.
Yeah.
I know one thing I know about John. He doesn't mess around when he's getting his Talicas and CalStars.
Then I'd check with the homeowner's policy and see if you can schedule that. And then a lot of times with that schedule becomes a lot broader coverage for you.
And again, take pictures.
So that's a good that is a good call though. It would be with your homeowners. You can say specifically, hey, you know, I get it that most people don't worry about fishing tackle, but I specifically have some pretty high end stuff. This is what it is. You know, I just want to make sure that it's covered. Maybe your policy goes up by a little bit, but you know that specific gear is specifically covered.
You know, in the non fishing world, people do that with jewelry, rings. You know. My jewelry coverage on my homeowner's policy is $5,000. But wait a minute, my wife has this $20,000 ring, so you schedule that specifically. They charge you a little bit more premium. But then if she loses it, it's covered.
That's cool.
You know, it's a different ball game. And if the dollar amount is high enough and the insurance carrier is willing to do it, then that would be the best way to cover it.
Good call.
All right, John, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's talk about your Parker boat and your fishing there. You bought the boat from West Coast Marine, Kevin Kelly up there, who's selling them like hotcakes.
And they do an amazing job. I mean, the just customer service factor, I mean, it's just been amazing. And now that they have their shop down here.
Gonzalo
it's
those
so much
guys
easier.
Are doing such a great job over there.
Bob does such an amazing job with the engines and everything.
Yeah, he's a good man. Yeah, and it's convenient, too.
It's the best thing that ever happened to guys like us.
Yeah, really you don't have to worry about taking it up north and having it on the road for a few days and then having it fixed and then a couple of days coming back down. It's all right there. You can get it done. And, you know, for me, like, I'm in a slip. I don't have a trailer for that boat.
Right.
No problem. We just set up the appointment. I'll meet them at the ramp. They bring in a trailer, load her up, and off you go, and they bring it back, and I meet them there, and it's back in the slip.
Okay. Same program. I mean, they're just, it's clockwork, too. They say they're going to be there at 8 o'clock. That thing is in the water at 8 o'clock. I drive it right on. They go and do their thing. I work my normal day of work, and, you know, they just set up the time. Hey, I'm off of work at 4 o'clock. Okay, we'll meet you at the ramp at 4:30, and boom, we boat goes bin tied up. No harm, no foul. We're just not out any time. They're the best.
Ready to roll.
And it's such a well-designed boat. I mean, if I was to sit down before I got this thing and actually map out everything I want on a fishing boat, it's pretty much right there.
What do you like about – you have the 2520, right?
520 with the –
which is
the cuddy cabin.
Short cabin, yeah.
Yeah. Walk-around cabin.
Walk-around cabin.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite of that style
boat.
The pilot house is overwhelmingly the most popular. And this is just me speaking, I like Scott's boat. I like that design even better.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. That's what I used.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you don't step down like
you're
you
elevated.
Do.
You're
elevated up. The helm is back about a foot and a half or so you're not so far forward, so it's a much smoother ride. You've got a lot more room down there in the cabin. And you can turn around in the captain's chair and see what the spread is looking, or see what your fishermen are doing, instead of turning around see where your kite's at. And quite frankly, I keep my isinglass up.
Yeah.
And it's bone dry in there.
Yeah,
I've never had a problem with cold or wind or water or anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, there are obvious merits to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that boat. Yeah. Visibility, still weatherproof, still easier access to the back of the boat and fishing and everything like that. I mean, sure, coming home, I mean, it's nice to shut the door and roll up the windows and you're in a cocoon, but you're basically in that still in that style of boat that you have, but also have better access to your fishing.
Yeah, I look at it as, I think the full pilot house is more of a family style fishing boat because it's got a couple more amenities and it's a little tighter and drier and you can get out of the elements, and this one's just more of a fishing specific boat. The other thing I love about the Parkers is the design and the beam and the width.
Yeah,
the back.
Yeah, you have a 9.6 beam, right?
Yeah, it's a 9.6 beam on a 25-foot boat, and it makes it fish like a 30-foot boat.
Yeah,
you know, I can have three guys across the back without any problem, without them bumping into each other and fishing really well.
That's good. And then you have twin Yamaha 200s?
200,
yeah.
Twin Yamaha 200s.
What a great power plant that is for the boat.
Well, the motors are so good and so bulletproof. And
you
just do your regular maintenance and flush them real nice when you get back. Open up the cowling and get rid of some salt deposits every once in a while.
Fuel efficiency?
I'm averaging about 1.8 to the gallon.
Come on.
Yeah.
Jeez, with twin engines, 1.8 at what speed?
About 20 to 22 knots, right around in there.
Where
it's dialed in. Now,
that's really good.
If I'm loaded up with a couple hundred pounds of ice and a couple other fat buddies of mine on the boat, it gets 1.6 to 1.5.
Well, but that's
it is what it
part
is.
Part of the deal, yeah.
But, it's an amazingly efficient boat. I have absolutely zero complaints with it.
Yeah, pretty awesome deal. Well, a guy that probably has very little to complain about right now is Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guy.
That's for sure. Well, he's standing by in that catch report. It's sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro series, the custom bluefin and yellowfin knives as well. They're all made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and it's easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details and get that Fish Pro series available at Fisherman's Processing. Let's talk to that man, Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Good morning, Dave.
Well, hey, Pete, Rick, Scott. Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Morning,
very,
morning,
very, very exciting news. I'm sure Brian talked about it. I didn't hear him, but the Fury ran the first trip over to San Clemente Island, and it was nothing short of spectacular. They had 80 plus on the yellows. They had excellent bass fishing, bonita fishing, had some barracuda in the mix. It was just nothing short of spectacular. It looks really good for all the sport boats that are just getting ready to get ready to get going here. Hopefully Scott Sherman gets those San Diego boats off the dock here shortly. Because if you look, there's a lot of fish out there that are dying to come back to San Diego and hang out at the docks there. So, Scott, you got to get on that, man. Those fish are begging to come to San Diego.
Yeah,
so.
The poor fish, right?
Yeah,
they want to fisherman's processing.
When you're in your next meeting, let them know Captain Dave Hansen says that all the fish out there are begging to come to the port of San Diego. Maybe that'll help.
Yep, well, I'll pass it on to the county. Those are the guys who are making the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I understand. I know. My father went through the same struggle up there in Dana Point. But, hey, Catalina, private boater report, it's really good fishing. There's squid. There's a couple of areas of squid. If you go to Fish Dope, Danny's got the information, or Jeff, they got it up there, where the squid's at. There's some sea bass to catch. The calico bass fishing that pretty much up and down the coast and over at the islands is really good right now. They're in the spawning mode. There's a lot of barracuda at Catalina. There's barracuda on the coast. There's just so much happening right now that you just really have to be a member of Fish Dope to see what's going on. Your saltwaterguide.com has all the information on how to catch them once you figure out where they are. But, Scott, let's get those San Diego sport boats off the dock, buddy.
Working on it, my friend.
Sounds good.
All right, fishdope.com. Danny, Jeff, and the boys have just been doing a sensational job. They're updating sometimes twice a day. There's so much going on. You've got to have fishdope.com for all that you need. You know, the water charts, the fish charts, the fish reports. They're invaluable. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com. If your absolute best value in fishing is buying a membership to fishdope.com, and just go to fishdope.com, use that code hookup now, and you'll be set for a year. Hey, Dave, how do we find you? We lost Dave.
YourSaltwaterGuide.com.
YourSaltwaterGuide.com. You can see all his videos. I mean, I was talking about rigging up baits for the dead flyers. Mm-hmm. Dave's got a video on that. Rigging up a balloon on a kite. Dave's got a video on that. Yeah. I learned all that on YourSaltwaterGuide.com.
We did a video on how we rig up our yummy flyer at Fisherman's Landing for him. So
that's
You can see the whole thing on how we cut it and splice it and glue it and attach, you know, front hook, rear hook, the whole nine. So, yeah, scope it out.
Yeah, check that out. All right, phones are packed. Let's go ahead and jump back into it.
Packed they are. Every single line still full wanting to talk to Scott. Let's talk to Cliff. He's calling us from Lakewood this morning. What's up, Cliff? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Hey, I wanted to give kudos to Scott. I was at Lake Jennings, and I seen Scott on TV in the morning news. And kudos for being so honest and not accepting bribes like some of those other council members. Hey, are you going to run for governor? What do you want?
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. You know, I got into this thing in the beginning because people asked me to, and for a lot of the issues we had dealing with the MLPAs and seeing how broken the system was, and I figured, well, I'll go down there and try and fix it. And we've had some victories and some defeats, but at the end of the day, I've always kept in mind what's in the best interest of San Diego, and that's really my only motive, because when I'm done with this in another 191 days, I'm going back to the private sector.
Yeah, you're going to go back to Snap Insurance.
Yeah, go back to my roots.
Yeah, back to your roots and helping people out with their boat policies.
You bet.
And home policies.
And home and commercial. I mean,
you do cars, too?
Yeah, we do home, auto, do commercial property, workers' compensation, airs and emissions, malpractice. You name it, we can pretty much find a home for it.
You insured Let's Talk Hookup, too.
Yeah. And I mean, I really started in the business doing apartment insurance when I very first got started, because I'd been a contractor and around apartments most of my life and kind of knew how they speak and most of their lingo. So that's where I started. It wasn't until many years later that I found myself spending less time in the office and more time in the fishing world. I figured, well, you know what, I better figure out a way to try and make work and my passion meld together, and that's when we started getting into the marine insurance world.
Yeah, there you go. And that's why I went to you, because my situation is so unique. What we do is a very unique thing, and you guys were able to put together a great policy. I've been with you for years on it.
Well, I remember when you first came in, we looked at your policy and realized you didn't have coverage in Mexico.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, can't do that.
Exactly. Yeah. You do now.
Yeah, we do now. Yeah, for sure. Hey, Cliff, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Prof.
All right, let's jump right back into it. Rich and Bradley's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Rich.
Howdy. I got a question for Scott. I'm wondering if when you're going to be planning ahead of time when you're out shopping for a boat, what kind of conversations you might want to have with your insurance agent. And then if you do pull the trigger and buy something and maybe repower, do you want to have an additional conversation with your insurance agent and kind of things that you might consider when you're working out your budgeting and making sure you can pay for everything and still be able to put gas in the boat?
Yeah, that's the hardest part is putting gas in the boat.
Everything adds up, so I wanted, considering maybe different sizes based on what your insurance is going to be. If you want to maybe a offshore boat going maybe from, say, 17 to 20 foot, something like that.
Right. Yeah, best thing to do is beforehand, if you know kind of the size and what you're thinking about doing with the boat, give your insurance agent a heads up so he can kind of, or she can kind of start looking around and getting ideas on what the pricing might be. And then once you've decided on a boat, quite frankly, before you actually throw the dollars down on it, you need to start looking at it to make sure that you can get the right premium and the right coverage and have that ready to go when you do actually make the purchase. And, there's a lot of things to think when upgrading. If it's over 26 foot, you usually need a survey. If it's an older boat.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a new boat, you've got for about 10 years. But if it's over 26 and it's an older boat, you're going to need a survey to get insurance done properly. So that's an additional cost. Then you need to think about what you're going to be doing with the boat and how much you have to put on it and what you think you're going to need, where you're going to go, those types of things. All of that you need to consider up front and have, once you've decided, okay, this is the boat I'm going to buy, then solidify that quote and make sure you have it ready to go as soon as the sale completes. And then the other thing I tell people, if you own your home, try and, if possible, if it fits your situation, combine the boat and the home policy together, because a lot of times you can save significant premium without sacrificing coverage.
That's good to know. Yeah,
good information.
That's great stuff. Thanks,
good
Rich.
Good questions, Rich. Thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, when we come back, we got another Let's Talk Hookup big block of phone calls coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup with Scott Sherman. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
It's a fact of life in Southern California, hard water. And if you have a pool, your tile shows it. Here comes San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning to the rescue. With their specialized equipment, SD Pool Tile Cleaning can safely remove the stubborn calcium deposits most pool owners struggle with. SD Pool Tile Cleaning can make your tile look bright and clean, almost like new again. High-pressure pool maintenance cleaning can damage grout, stone, and dislodge tiles. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning uses a low-pressure media blasting technique to protect your pool surface from damage and yield fantastic results. So stop making excuses for your stained tiles on your pool. Make them look like new again with San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check their website at sdpooltilecleaning.com and let their professional staff rejuvenate your pool tile. When it comes to professional swimming pool tile cleaning service, there's only one name you can trust, San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check sdpooltilecleaning.com.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
When you want dependable service for your outboard, your first choice should be H&H Marine in Pacific Beach. Owner and mechanic Jeff Hughes found there was a real need for great outboard repair, and that's why he started H&H Marine. Jeff and his crew will service your motors at their convenient Garnett Avenue shop, in your boat slip, or at your home, as a factory-authorized Yamaha service center. When Jeff takes the job, it's done right. He's worked on Pete and Rick's boats for years and comes highly recommended. H&H Marine is also your source for new Yamaha and Mercury outboards as well as original parts. Need a new bait tank? H&H Marine has you covered with top-of-the-line blue water bait tank sales and expert installation. In the market for a new boat? H&H Marine is a striper boat dealer with great prices on their full line of affordable fishing boats. So for outboard service when and where you want it, outboard sales, striper fishing boats, and bait tank systems, check out H&H Marine, 2680 Garnett Avenue in Pacific Beach, on the web at hhmarineservice.com. A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time. Scott Sherman from Snap Insurance joining us this morning. We're talking fishing, talking Parkers, talking insurance, all kinds of stuff. Man.
Yeah,
he's got a great show.
A great show, and really having fun talking to Scott and all the different things that he does. Hey, I want to throw out a huge thank you to all our sponsors that have been sticking with us here. You know, especially like the Sport Fishing Landings. Yeah. C4 Sport Fishing, Fisherman's Landing, Point Loma Sport Fishing, Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, and they, you know, the long-range boats, Royal Polaris, the Royal Star, the American Angler, the Red Rooster, the Independence, you know, all these guys, did I say American Angler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've all been so supportive. Islander, another one, all been so supportive of us. And they're just sitting at the dock.
Yeah.
And they're not making any money, but yet they're still understand the value of keeping people pumped up and keeping people enthusiastic. So when we are able to go fishing, which hopefully will be this week, people are ready to go and doped up and keeping ready. So I want to throw out all of our sponsors, especially those like those landings and long-range boats that aren't operating that have been so supportive of us through this whole thing.
Awesome. Well said, man. Totally.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
like you said, those guys have not brought in a dime of income.
Nope.
And still keeping with because we're all a family, and you know they're a big part of it for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let's jump into the phones.
You got it, buddy. They're packed up. We got some very patient callers. Jim in National City's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Jim.
Morning, Rick. He, Councilman, I got a question. I'm going to take you off the water here for a minute. And I wanted to talk about, I hope it's appropriate for this show, but San Diego State and the issues they got going with that stadium. I would value your opinion. Is the university asking for too much or is the city asking for too much? And how do you see this thing being resolved?
Really? Jim, really? This question now?
If you want, yeah, not a problem.
Go ahead.
Actually, I think we've finally gotten to a place where we have an agreement on both sides in principle. You know, we're working out a couple of final details that should be done fairly soon. And usually I've always said the best deal you can is usually when neither side gets everything.
Both sides would come away disappointed.
Yeah, when both sides are kind of grumpy about it. That's kind of where we are here. If it was done differently without the vote and all those things, the city could have gotten more. But there was a vote before the citizens voted to pass the SDSU initiative. It's our job as a council members to make sure that that's put in place, but at the same time looking after the safeguards of the city. So we had a long marathon session last week. There were 14 areas of concern that we had about liability for San Diegans going forward that could have been hundreds of millions of dollars. We talked to San Diego State. They agreed to take on those liabilities because they're buying it as is. Mm-hmm. So the city will be getting about $86 million for the site, one-time sale. And we don't have all these different liabilities that we are going to have. We'll be getting a river park, a bridge that crosses the river there on a north-south there at Fenton Parkway, which will help alleviate some of the traffic. There'll be housing and campus facilities and those types of things. So it'll be a good deal eventually. Could it have been better? Sure. Could it have been worse? Sure. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually thought a couple of weeks ago that a lot of those liabilities we were going to get stuck with. But I really have to give kudos to the city attorney and Yamara Elliott. And she and I haven't seen eye to eye on some issues. Some issues we have, some we disagree, but it's always been professional. But she really stuck her neck out and said, no, I don't care about the politics of it. This is my job as an attorney to protect the liability of the city. And she did a really good job. So now we have a deal that's been agreed to in principle. The final wording is coming out here pretty soon, and we'll get a chance to look at that. And hopefully we'll have it passed in the next couple of weeks, and they'll be able to start working on a stadium, you know.
So are they just tearing down the existing stadium?
They're going to build a new stadium while the while they're playing in Qualcomm, in the existing stadium.
Okay.
And then once that stadium is built, they'll tear down the existing stadium.
And then they'll build the housing and the
And then the housing.
Park
the River Park will go first. Cause that
the
was,
River Park goes
yeah,
first.
Yeah, that was part of the initiative.
That's a cool zone over there. Oh. The river. Yeah, the river going through there.
You know, and I was never a huge fan of the SDSU proposal, but that property has amazing possibilities, and the park and everything and the housing that will go in there. It will be very nice.
Hopefully fishing will be allowed.
I always wanted to put a stop to lake, and there's a water feature. But
there's bass in there.
That was a great answer, though, man. Again, that's why I'm so glad we got you on our team, man. That was perfect.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jim.
All right.
Maybe.
Let's jump back into the phones and talk to Roy. Roy's calling us from San Diego this morning. What's up, Roy? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Scott, and I don't know if you hit this earlier. With the beaches opening up pretty soon, I guess sometime this week and stuff like that, do you know if we're going to be allowed to do surf fishing on our city beaches?
That's a $64,000 question. Once they open up, we're supposed to be able to fish. I've heard that you can fish now technically, but I've also heard that there's been a communication problem with enforcement and the people out there. But once they open up, which is next week, for, you know, you can actually sit on the beach and do some of those things, then fishing should be allowed to.
So they're saying now that you're not supposed to fish on the beach?
Yeah, well, see, it's there's been confusions between the county and the lifeguards and the city and everything. I've seen on lifeguard website that, yeah, fishing from the shore is allowed. But then I've also heard county officials saying, no, you're not allowed to fish from shore. Which doesn't make any sense. I'm able to walk by.
As long as you're
other.
Moving.
Yeah, we're just standing in one spot, and people walk by, and you're 6 foot from each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's been more of a communication problem with the enforcement side and the county side. So.
And we have that issue with lifeguards, too.
Yeah.
When lifeguards in Mission Bay, you know, when things opened up and kayaks on the water, you know, they were saying, oh, you can't have a pedal kayak. I was like, give me a break. Yeah. Oh, you're like, what, did you just make that up?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the problem, is some of the enforcement people are making their own rules.
Well, and they haven't got good direction from superiors on what is and what isn't allowed.
And there's confusion.
There's confusion. And
yeah.
That's what happens when you get these restrictions put in place that people have different interpretation, and they're done so quickly and without a chance to actually inform what's going on that you get different interpretations.
All right.
But hopefully next week when the beach will be open. I still need to work on the whole parking lot issue. We're going to open up the beach, but only 25% of the parking lot, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense at all. And the other thing that's crazy is, like, you know, ride my bike along Sunset Cliffs, and I addressed this with you before, is there's like 3 or 4 10 space parking lots along Sunset Cliffs that they have closed. And they have like 2 meter maid people watching these 40 spots,
right?
What a waste of city money.
Yeah, actually, you can take one of those meter maids from each one of those spots, you could open the lakes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just, I mean, that's why we need common sense.
But they don't want, and again, it goes back to always bureaucracies like to plan for the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
They open up all those parking lots, they get overcrowded at the beach, they get some reaction on the news, and then the governor kind of steps in and shuts things down because, you know, we already saw that happened.
Right.
To me, I think it's completely illegal when he does that, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
My favorite was when they open up the launch ramp, and I do. I understand at some level why they did it. It was to limit the people. It was exactly what you just described. but when you were only allowed to park in every other stall because they, you know, say, you got to distance your parking.
Distance your parking.
Like,
the
you don't
cars
want your,
are going to get COVID.
I don't want my F-150 catching COVID from his
exactly,
F-250.
Yeah. Or if I pull into you, I can't wait for 2 minutes while you get out of your car and move out of the way.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah, that was that. Which is not a thing anymore.
They don't do
but
it anymore.
That was the chuckle that I had. Is like,
but,
yeah,
you know, that's how bureaucracies, either a government bureaucracy or large-scale
sure.
corporation bureaucracy. Yeah. That's kind of how they work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning, Roy.
Let's keep rolling, man. Feels good to be back in it. Let's talk to Norman. Norman calls from San Diego this morning. What's up, Norman? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Buddy.
I want to say thank you, Scott, for being the adult in the room past years on the city's council government.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
My question has to do with bluefin fishing. And sometimes when you go up to these pretty big fish, you're going down to some really small size hooks. Now, I was wondering if you could recommend a brand and model J hook for this purpose and whether offset matters.
That's a great question. And in J hook, I don't think that the offset makes a ton of difference. There are some offset J hooks. That Gamakatsu Octopus 4X hook is a really nice offset hook if that's the shape of hook that you really like. But for me, I just like a traditional J hook. And for the most part, I like to fish the standard wire Gamakatsu live bait. Like, that's my standard J hook that I like. They also do make it in an HD form. So if you think you're going to be catching real big fish, or you're fishing that big bluefin, or you're rigging something, a mackerel on a kite rig, I fish that HD. But Gamakatsu has very strong wire. Like, that is their claim to fame, is that their steel that they use in Japan is of the highest grade. And there are other designer hooks that are popular that look similar, but the quality of metal that they use is inferior to Gamakatsu. And what that gains you is you can use a slightly smaller, slightly lesser gauge, but you still retain the strength. So that little bit lighter, little bit, you know, skinnier gauge wire allows the bait to swim better, but you still have your strength. So in most case scenarios, I just like the very standard live bait Gamakatsu J-hook.
All right. Good answer. Now, one thing to consider, Norman, is bluefin have teeth.
Yes.
And you hook a big bluefin with a J-hook, and he swallows it deep, you're lessening your chance of, or increasing your chance of them shaking their head and sawing you off. That's why we always recommend that Nautilus, mm-hmm. Nautilus circle hook or the Nautilus HD, because you get them in the corner of the mouth, generally speaking, and you don't have to worry so much about getting sawed off.
Totally. Right? Yep. Yeah. And the bait's of fair size right now. He brings up a great point in that, you know, with small bait and small hooks, it is a little more difficult to get that circle hook into them. So, you know, you gotta, and that's not a right or wrong answer. You know, you gotta weigh the, you know, you gotta decide what is the better call for you. A smaller hook certainly gets bit better, but it's harder to put your bait on. Maybe you're manipulating the bait a little bit more, where a J-hook is very easy to pin that bait on. But when you're attached, a bluefin, when targeting bluefin, it's the only – I like J-hooks. I'm a J-hook guy most of the time. Bluefin is the exception. I always fish a circle because of exactly what Pete's saying. They just do. They have – their teeth are a little more aggressive. They're just so known for shaking their head, especially when they're straight up and down. And they'll just they are the ones that seem to chew you off more than the others.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Monday when I was out, it was a standard J-hook. And after 30 minutes of pulling on a big fish, I felt a few head shakes, and that's when the pop came.
Yeah.
And when I checked the leader as I got it up, I mean, there was a couple of good tinks on the side of the leader. So it was obvious
that chewing on you.
Obviously that some teeth had been hitting it once or twice anyway.
Yeah. If you had a circle hook, you may have stood a little better chance.
May have had a better chance at landing that fish.
Or you could have been on it for another hour.
Yeah,
and
exactly right. I could have been totally physically exhausted.
Yeah. But you, are you normally fishing J-hooks then?
I'm a J-hook guy. You learn something, you kind of stick with it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. And I've always been a J-hook guy. And Ricky brings up a good point on the J-hook as opposed to the circle. Especially if your bait's not that great and you don't want to spend a lot of time handling your bait, you have to do a couple little bit more of a manipulation to get that circle hook on there a little bit. J-hook just super easy to pin on without having to manhandle your bait too much.
I also say, too, if you treat a J-hook identical to a circle when you're getting a bite, a true, if it's not 9 times, it's 8 times out of 10, it winds up right in the corner also. You know, no swing. Just
you don't have to swing.
Put the thing into gear and wind it home just like you would a circle. 9 times out of 10 it will wind up. But the 10th time out of 10 might be the time when your 150-pounder that you've been waiting for all season swallows it, and a circle hook will keep that from happening. So, right. Yeah. Again, none of those are a right decision or a wrong decision. Those are just the things to consider when you're going for it.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Good question, though.
Yeah, that's great. How about Jim and Poway up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Hi, Jim.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Hey, Pete, Rick, once I just wanted to thank you both for running additional commercials for us at the shop for the last couple of months with this whole COVID thing going on.
Yes, Jim Francella.
Poway Valley Collision.
Thank you, guys. I was trying not to do that part. Shame of promotion.
No, man, we're part of the family, too.
That's it. Plug when you can, buddy.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Scott, I was wondering, we have the same boat, ours just a little bit older than yours, but I have a captain that runs a local half-day boat that wants to do, like, tax charters on his days off. But I know my insurance I currently have won't cover charters. Right. Can I get an additional, or do I have to cancel my one policy and go with a commercial policy?
Yeah, it depends on who's writing it, but most of the time you're going to have to cancel the one policy and place it into a commercial one, because if you're going to have it for charter, it just falls in that charter group. You can use it yourself whenever you want, but it still falls into that charter category.
Because you're carrying passengers.
It's a passenger thing.
Yeah. Because now you got to worry about them, what they do, what they potentially sue for, whatever.
When what your safety procedures are, what your experience are, what you know and don't know about handling passengers on a boat. Because if you're going to get into liability issues, 9 times out of 10, it's with passengers on your boat.
Now, you're representing the person. Generally speaking, insurance companies do everything they can to deny a claim, right? Is that pretty much the norm?
Depends on the carrier. I mean, most carriers are looking at their bottom line.
Yeah.
Now, I've known a couple carriers, not in the boat insurance world, but we used to call them the rollover and pay insurance company, because they just paid any old claim. They really didn't care about it. But in the boat world, there's differences between companies and how easy they pay, but for the most part, they're looking for their bottom line.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, you get into over the 26-foot range, Travelers Insurance, and, you know, it's one of the companies we work. Mm-hmm. They are very good,
are they,
about paying claims.
Yeah.
There's a couple other carriers that more look after their bottom line than after you. But that's when you need an agent, too, because an agent will know how to talk to a claims person and know, okay, wait a minute, you're saying there's no coverage at this level, but yeah, what about this endorsement over here that might bring it back? And if you don't have an agent, you're trying to deal with it yourself, it makes it difficult.
Yeah, having a representative on your side has got to be huge in something like that.
Well, and somebody who's actually, you know, knows the industry,
sure. No, totally.
Goes through all the continuing education, knows the policies inside and out, where coverages are and where they aren't.
Yeah,
know.
If it's just me on the phone and they tell me no, what grounds do I have to do other than just accept it? You know, but yeah. When you have somebody say, well, wait a minute, not so fast. What about this?
Yeah, it's happened many, many times.
I'm sure.
So for your customers that buy policies, rather than call the insurance company when you have a claim, you like them to call you?
Yes and no. They can go straight through the normal claims processes.
Yeah.
The number on the back of the policy you call with a claim.
Gotcha.
And if everything's being handled fine, you don't have to worry about it. But if you got something that they're denying, or they're saying, yes, we'll cover this, but at a reduced amount, or some of those types of things, that's when you really need to bring in your advocate, your agent.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir.
How's everything at Poway Valley Collision? You guys getting busy?
It's picking up a little bit. It was tough. It's been tough. I mean, we used to 5-6 cars a day, and for a couple of weeks we had 5 cars a week. So
yeah, well, not a lot of cars on the road, so not a lot of cars are getting banged up, right?
Exactly. A lot of fraud going on right now. We're hearing from the insurance carriers. People are, you know, claiming stuff that they've already been paid on, and it's just, people are doing crazy stuff right now.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So,
and another thing I wanted to point out in the auto insurance segment too, you know, a lot of times your policy, you know, your insurance carrier, they have their preferred auto collision specialist that they want you to go to.
Right.
You don't have to. It's not like they say, here's our preferred list and you have to go to one of those lists. you can take it to any auto repair dealer that you want. So many times people think, I have to go to the pre-approved list. No, no, no. You go to who you want.
I've dealt with that twice. You know, they're very selective in their wording. Like, they don't say you can't, but like, oh, it's so much easier if you do this, and, you know, it's just so fast if you do that. No way. Like, I've had that twice, and I've taken, you know, both times I've ever had, you know, a fender bender in any cars, we've always gone to Poway Valley, and, like, it's not easier than that, I assure you.
Yeah, because you guys do all the insurance, too, right, Jim?
Yes, and the biggest thing people need to watch out for right now is the insurance carriers have all gone to these apps where they request you send in photos of your car, and then they write an estimate based on the photos, and I will guarantee you bring that estimate to any shop in San Diego County, that the estimate's going to go up about 300%, because right now they're trying to save as much money as they can.
I
hope you're going to walk away, and they're making billions. So.
Yeah, Jim is dead on. Like, that is to the T of what happened with this. It's so easy now. You can just, you know, download this app, and you take pictures of it, and based on that, we'll figure out what it is. We can just cut you a check right on scene. You can go anywhere and get it fixed. And Jim's like, no. You know, I went to Poway Valley, and they just said the same thing. Like, nope, let us. Then I didn't do anything. I mean, that was the beauty of it. You know, we brought them the car. Then they dealt with the insurance company. Then it was fixed correctly. You know, they helped me with the rental car. Yeah, just the whole nine. It's not a question.
Well, and it's short-sighted, in my opinion, by the insurance carriers, too, because there would be instances where if they were to go out and actually look at the vehicle, they can tell when somebody's trying to scam them.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it goes both ways. I've seen so many times where you'll have a little dent in the fender that looks like it's a big deal, and the insurance adjuster will come out and say, well, wait a minute, 90% of that has been rusted.
Right.
So it's obviously been exposed for quite some time, and you just got another little ding in that same area. Now you're trying to claim it, and you weren't going to claim it before. You know, if you were taking a couple of pictures from, you can't find that detail from something going on. So it's short-sighted on the insurance carriers. They think they're making money in the right up front, but at the same time, they're missing out on a lot of fraud that could be put in place too.
That's why we recommend Poway Valley Insurance.
No doubt.
And not only that, Jim and Mary are fishing.
Yeah,
people,
they're cool.
Right? And they're great people, and they take good care of our listeners and stuff. So thank you, Jim.
Yeah,
appreciate all you do.
Yes, have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks
for having Mary for us. All right, let's jump right back into them. The phones are packed up. Let's talk to Mike. He's calling us from Rosemead. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I like that moniker, Department of Common Sense. I think 90% of the people wouldn't qualify to have that.
Politics today, yeah.
That's a fact.
I tell you. Yeah, and you're right, Pete. This insurance stuff, it's complex, man. It's like a financial broker. You got to have the right type of person to steer you in the right direction. It's crazy. Yeah.
No doubt. That's why you use Snap Insurance.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, so hopefully next week, I got a okay on Friday that we have a charter going out up in Ventura, and it's, you know, we have like 20 people that are scheduled to go.
Nice.
And it's kind of like a oxymoron. They say when you leave the harbor or, you know, the port, you're out there in open water on an overnight boat, which this charter will be. Once you're underway, they don't recommend you being hanging out at the stern or around the bait tank and everything because, you know, the situation of being getting thrown overboard or something. So they want you to hang out inside the wheelhouse, not a wheelhouse, but the cabin or, you know, the break room, whatever. And so now they're, I don't know, what are they going to say? Okay, boys, time to go to sleep, get in bed, you know, so people won't be able to hang out in the galley or anything like that. That was kind of just a thought, you know. So,
there's places outside too that you can hang out on a boat. You know, you just don't want to go to the rail. You don't want to go to the stern when at night when you're underway for obvious reasons.
I would say there's
plenty of room other than the rail and the stern.
Sure, and then the policy of hanging out on, you know, on the back of the boat while the boat's traveling at night. That's not a corona rule, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of always
it's
been
a wise decision.
Yeah. But we hear you, and like I said, every boat is going to go through some changes while this thing, and we will see how it all shakes out, and they will feel their way through the reopenings, and we'll figure out what works and what doesn't, and away we'll go.
Bottom line is, with these limited loads that the boats are going to be able to take, like they were talking 20 people on the Fury, you know, they were talking, Fred was talking 24 people on the Daily Double. You know, the long range boats will be limited in the numbers there too. It's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It's going to be.
It's not going to be an issue. It's going to be more comfortable. It's right.
Yeah.
Gonna, yeah.
It's a non-factor, and that's why it's so important to get things open.
I
sure.
agree. You got
hey,
it.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing because they're going on a full-day trip on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out. Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater rods and reels, like Talica, Trinidad, and Tranks reels, plus Terramar and Therese rods. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano rod and reel for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half- and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, the big winner going fishing on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. Big winner, Cliff from Lakewood. Cliff, congratulations. Nothing like fishing on the San Diego with the boys. You're going to love it.
Yeah, indeed. And Scott Sherman, what a great show.
This was awesome. Yeah, thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Long. Yeah, we did. We talked about fishing. We talked about insurance. We talked about
politics.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of covered the gambit here in these 2 hours and really did a fantastic job.
It flies by here, too.
Yeah, man. It does, doesn't it? Once again, thank you for all your efforts with your hard work in politics and the city council and what you're doing for anglers, for sure. And keep it up.
Thank you, buddy. And
yeah.
Hopefully we'll have the lakes open here real soon.
Yeah,
great job.
Sure. And hopefully the sport boats will be open and running there very, very quickly here.
I've been hounding
this week, we hope.
I've been hounding the supervisors pretty often about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure. It's county, right?
Yeah, it's all in the county. It's county. County's in charge of yeah. health and city's in charge of safety.
Yeah, there you go. Well, if in the meantime, if somebody wants an insurance quote and wants to know more about boat insurance, car insurance, home insurance, business insurance, like
yeah.
I have my business insurance yep. with you, how do we get a hold of Snap Insurance?
You can call us at the office, 619-908-3100. Ask for Kimberly. Ask for Kimberly. Since, you know, I've got this other job that gets in the way. I'm not always in the office. Make sure you tell them you heard about it here on the show. Or it's you can get us on the internet at snapassociates.com.
And
Snap is with two P's, S-N-A-P-P.
S-N-A-P-P, associates.com.
You got it.
And ask for Kimberly, and make sure you tell them you heard it on Let's Talk Hookup, and that way you're going to get special care.
You'll get the fisherman's.
Otherwise the Shermanade will come down.
That's it. You get the special fisherman's treatment, and I don't know if that's good or not, but that's what you're going to get.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so, too.
For sure. Well, thanks, Sherm. Keep it up. And
this is great.
We'll see you on the water, for sure. And thank you for listening today. Thanks to everybody out there for all your support, and good to stay safe and healthy. And next Saturday, what a great show. Captain Benny Florentino from Coastal Charters, he'll have some insight on that Clemente bite going on right now. And then next Sunday, a really interesting show with SAC spotter pilot Tom Green.
Yeah,
he's going to be
sweet.
In here with us. That's going to be a great couple of shows. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you. Thanks to Dave and Adam, and we'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.